If you were looking for a vacation spot in the late 70s or early 80s, you might have had a certain East Coast state try to tug at your heartstrings. That song, by the way, is the official song of New York State, and the concept, loving a place, is behind the work my next guest does. Peter Kageyama is author of the books For the Love of Cities and Love Where You Live. And Peter, what is the significance of someone loving their city? Like, why does it matter?
I think it matters because love matters. I mean, that shouldn't be too much of a radical thought. I think we all get that. And we have these very examined relationships, you know, personal and professional. But you don't think about the relationship that you have with your place. But I would put that right up there in that triumvirate in terms of the importance of relationships. And so you'd want that to be a good relationship. You'd want it to be a loving relationship both ways.
What makes a city lovable? I would imagine it differs for different people.
Well, sure. Because, again, love is very idiosyncratic. And, you know, what works for one couple may not work for another. And I totally get that. But there are some similarities. There's very some common themes around that. And I think cities are lovable when they are feel like that we can make a difference in them. And sometimes that's hard in a big city where we as individual citizens, we don't necessarily feel like we have the power to change greater Phoenix. But, you know, maybe we have the power to change our neighborhood. And that's maybe where the anchoring and that sense of love and connection begins.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because it seems like for a lot of people, at least when they talk about where they live in a particular city, mm-hmm. they start with their street, their neighborhood. And I would imagine that that sort of informs in many ways how they feel about the city or the metro region more broadly.
Yeah. I mean, our relationships, it is fractal. All of us live in a country, in a state, in a city, in a neighborhood. And we are community members of each and every one of those. You know, and the bigger that ring gets, again, the further it feels like we have a sense of control over that. But so I think it is recognizing that we're in these sort of multiple relationships in our communities.
Do you get the sense that city leaders, the elected leaders, let's start with, think about this sort of thing like, they probably want to make sure that the city has the services that their
sure.
residents want. But do they think about being loved?
I think they do. I think especially since, you know, in the last few years, as our economies have come back and we now have a bit more, I don't want to call it the luxury, but we seem to have the space to think about, you know, things beyond being just functional and safe. So I think leaders are trying to figure out, okay, what can we do? You know, things are going well. How do we continue to keep the ball rolling? And I think part of that is being driven by a lot of millennial attitudes, you know, about places, which are very different than the attitudes, you know, of a generation or two before them about what they expect from a city. They don't expect just, okay, you got to have jobs, you got to have a good education system. I think millennials and a lot of us are just taking that's a given. What else you got? Then it gets into really great placemaking, which turns the conversation into these other areas, including emotional engagement.
Well, how do city leaders try to balance and reconcile all that? Because, you know, there are a lot of folks, yeah. for example, in Phoenix and elsewhere, for whom public transit is really important. And for some, parks are really important, or hiking trails, or libraries, or city swimming pools, things like that. Mm-hmm. For cities that can't do all of that, how do you try to sort of balance out so that all these different groups of people with sometimes competing demands and requests can have those met?
Right. Well, that also presupposes that, you know, that government is the only sort of, you know, dispenser of these amenities, these sort of, I call them love notes. And of course, government has a role in creating some of those love notes. You mentioned good ones, parks, playgrounds, you know, swimming pools, of course, those kinds of things. What we really are looking for is a partnership between citizens who feel engaged with their communities, who say, you know what, I can be a placemaker. And that is part of the challenge, because most citizens don't believe they can be a placemaker, a community builder. They think that is government's job, because they think community building is, you know, roads and bridges and schools. And they look at that and go, I can't do any of that. But my point is that community building can also be little things. That has value, and that is community building. And I think not enough people really understand that they can play a role in this.
Is city building and trying to sort of build love for a city, is it more difficult in a place, for example, like Phoenix, which is a large metropolitan area with a giant city in the middle of it, but other fairly large cities surrounding it in which residents may live in one and work in another and, you know, go do Pilates in a third, for mm-hmm. example?
Well, I think it's hard in places, harder in places like Phoenix, simply because we spend more time in our cars. Cars isolate us. And we try to fix that by creating, okay, more walkable places, bikeable. Anything that gets people out from behind the wheel of their car allows them to have a better sense of their place.
cities obviously compete for all sorts of things. I mean, they're competing for Amazon's second headquarters. They compete for development projects of all shapes and sizes. Do you find that cities are, in a sense, competing for our love?
Of course, because they're competing for us. You know, Richard Florida was the first one who started this conversation about 15 years ago, you know, the rise of the creative class. He was talking about the importance of creative people and attracting them to your communities and helping, you know, as that they would be part of the drivers of your community. And so communities everywhere got into the business of wooing people, right, and along with companies. And, you know, you've got to do both. But, yeah, of course, you know, you talk about talent attraction. You talk about workforce development. Well, what do they want? They want a job, of course. They want good education, but they want something more, especially these educated folks who have options. It's like, I could go here, here, or here. What do you got?
Well, you talk about people who have options in terms of where they go. And Phoenix is obviously a place where a lot of people who live here are not originally from here, a lot of transplants from elsewhere. How does that affect how people, I guess, sort of fall in love with their place, especially when they have a connection and maybe a sentimental connection or other connection to the place where they're from?
I believe that city love doesn't have to be monogamous. In fact, I hope it's not. I hope you do love more than one city because, you know, that means you've traveled, you've seen other things, you have maybe touch points in other places. You can love more than one city. What's funny, though, is I find as I travel around the country that oftentimes newcomers to communities sometimes have the greatest love, affection, and enthusiasm for places. You know, we don't use the word love enough in our civic dialogue, in our politics, in our discussion about our cities. We get very technical, and that's fine. But I think we need to allow ourselves to be emotional about our cities because then we're not being truthful with ourselves because we do have this emotional relationship. And if we're only dealing with sort of the technical side, then there's a whole vast portion of ourselves and of our community that is not getting enough attention.
All right. Peter, thanks a lot for coming in.
My pleasure.
Peter Kagayama is author of the books For the Love of Cities and Love Where You Live.